From Pioneer 90.1 in Thief River Falls, this is Minnesota Music Memories, a musical time machine featuring the sounds of the 50s, 60s, and 70s from the land of 10,000 lakes. Minnesota Music Memories, supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Here are your hosts, Carl Unbehown and Glenn Broggett.
Welcome to Minnesota Music Memories. Today we're visiting with Dale Menton, who is the frontman for The Gestures, a Mankato, Minnesota-based musical group who rocked dance venues throughout the upper Midwest in the 1960s. Over the next hour, we'll be talking with Dale and featuring songs from a 1996 CD released by Sundays, simply titled The Gestures. Welcome, Dale.
Hi, Carl.
Dale, I understand the roots of The Gestures go back to 1961 and a group called The Discords.
Oh, you're going way back.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, you could go back even before that. We had a little band that I don't even think we had a name, and that was in what they probably now call middle school or junior high, and we played for some little Lyceum things and everything. And that was the beginning.
Okay.
But the Discords came after that, but boy, you went back. Way back to where my oxide doesn't even exist. That's great.
Well, how did the Discords evolve to become The Gestures?
It was a different group of people in the Discords. I mean, I think my cousin Brian Menton was in that, and Arnie Marshall may have been in that, and Jack Shook, I think. And it was a different group. In the meantime, there was another band called the Mark 4 or 5. I'm not sure which one it was. And that had, Steve Nike and some other people in it. And out of that band came a band called The Jesters, J-E-S-T-E-R-S. And I was invited into that band. And I think I replaced a gentleman named Dan Coughlin, if I'm not mistaken. Tom Klukertz, who I think was playing rhythm guitar, went over to bass guitar. We got Gus Dewey, who was playing a little tenor guitar in his attic. We got him to be rhythm guitar, and then Bruce Watterson, who came from the Mark 4 or 5. And that was The Jesters. And that's 62. And, you know, we just kind of played around at sock hops and so forth, crazy days and things like that. And we actually carried that name through the release of Run, 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 right up until it was released, and the label found out that there was a band in California called The Jesters, J-E-S-T-E-R-S also. They won. They got there first. And so they had to quickly scrap the pressing and repress, and they asked us for a name, and I just simply came, well, let's keep it close. So I said, how about The Gestures, G-E-S-T-U-R-E-S? Nobody liked it in the band, so I knew it was going to be good. So we went with that. I'm just kidding. But actually, I don't think anybody even understood what it was. But
there you go. Most 60s dance bands, including the ones I was in, only did cover songs, but The Gestures did quite a few originals written by yourself. Now, the CD that I have here is features 8 self-penned songs plus an alternate take of I'm Not Mad. Do these songs comprise the total recorded output by the band?
You know, unfortunately, yes. That was it. We were only in the studio about 3 times. Maybe 4 tops, and that's what it was.
Still more production on original material than most groups.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was probably easier to learn the original tunes than to go out and buy a 45 and then learn those chords, you know. This way I would just show the band what the chords were in living color, and we just learned them, you know. But, yeah, and that kind of filled up our... I don't know if we ever played a 4-hour, you know, like 4 1-hour sets, 45-minute sets, without repeating a lot of things. But that's like most bands back then. I'm sure every band in the area learned how to play Exodus and learned how to play it for 40 minutes when you played at proms and things. And we were guilty of that, too.
Or dollar dances.
Yeah, you know, just keep playing it. Just take it from the head again. Let's just do it again and over and over again. And, oh, boy.
So you played throughout the upper Midwest?
Yeah, the upper Midwest, as upper as Canada, just toured Canada a couple times with the Orlans and Ronnie Dove. I can't remember the other act that we toured with. And then down to Oklahoma, and then sliding over to the West Coast, Washington and Oregon. And then, you know, then there's South Dakota, North Dakota, a bunch of Iowa, a lot of Iowa, Wisconsin. Yeah, so that's, and that's kind of the coverage. We never got east of Chicago. So although the record was charted, I think it was one or number three in New York City.
Here's the smash hit of which we speak, Run, 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 which was released on the Soma label in October of 64. The song reached number 44 on Billboard's Hot 100 chart.
Set you free. Run, 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 baby, run, 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 baby, run. I'll do set you free. Now did you know that I didn't love you? And did you know I'd make a fool of you? Run, 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 baby, run, 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 baby, run. Now I was all alone, waiting for you to come. But you were out with another guy. Why, oh, why, oh, why? Run, run, baby. Run, run, run to set you free. Run, 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 baby, run, 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 baby, run. How to set you free. Set you free. Run, 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 baby, run, 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 baby, run, 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 baby, run.
Doing covers of popular radio hits was a must for dance bands of the 60s and still is now, as few groups have a large catalog of original songs. The Gestures filled the dance floor with this classic tune by Jerry and the Pacemakers, Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying.
You crying. The night's a time for your tears. Your heart may be broken tonight, but tomorrow in the morning. So don't let the sun, catch you crying. Crying's not a bad thing. But stop your crying when the birds sing. It may be hard to discover. Don't forget that love's a game, and it can always come again. So don't let the sun get you crying. Don't let the sun get you crying.
Dale, let's talk about your smash hit, Run, Run, Run. Do you recall how the song came to you?
No, I was just sitting in my bedroom, lonely and bored or whatever, and I was learning how to play guitar, and I discovered the best way to learn how to play guitar, which involves getting your fingers over that bloody callus stage, was to just keep playing over and over and over again, which was really boring. So I discovered if I was writing a song, you are stuck playing it over and over again while you're thinking of lyrics and thinking of other chords and stuff. So it kind of served a dual purpose. I mean, I was writing a song, and I was also learning how to play guitar. And I had learned a bunch of, you know, chords that we had never heard them before in rock and roll music, like E minor 11 or, you know, stuff like that. And so that was fun. That's what I used. And it seems to me, and in Don't Mess Around, I just started writing. I had actually been writing songs before then when I was taking piano lessons. I would shuffle up a deck of cards, and if you go ace through king, you end up with, I believe, 13 cards or something, which is kind of your key structure for an octave. And I'd shuffle them up, and I'd take out four or five cards, and then I would play those corresponding notes on the piano. And then from those notes on the piano, I would write what I would call my movie scores. And I actually scored little tunes. There were no lyrics then, but I started putting things together. I started putting chords together with notes. And up until then, I hadn't had any training with chords. I mean, I was going through the, you know, that very, very basic beginner piano. And chord structure wasn't part of that. And I just made up my own chords and made up my own melodies. But when I went to guitar, that was helpful because I had a sense for chord structure and putting melodies together with it and everything. So that's a long answer, Carl. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Give me shorter great. Questions.
You mentioned B-Sharp Music. Did you shop there for your instruments?
I actually worked there somewhere let's see where that oxide would be. Probably 60, maybe 6 or 7, maybe 6, I think. 65, 66. Let's go with 66, half of 67. I actually worked there. I taught guitar, and then I sold guitars off the rack. But I wasn't very good at it because, you know, mostly guitars I didn't like. And so I actually probably steered more business away than I actually sold.
Well, I actually bought my first guitar there, which was a little short-scale Gibson bass, cherry red with double cutaway sharp horns and a basement amp there from Mr. Lopez.
Yeah. No, and actually Mr. Lopez, Jim, was our landlord. On 2726 DuPont Avenue, he owned a fourplex. And when we moved up here, when I got married, we moved into one of the fourplexes. So that's where I got the job also. I told Jim, gee, I'm going to need a job besides playing in a band. If you're going to charge us this much for this hole in the wall. He said, well, you can come. You can teach guitar here and sell guitars. I said, you got it. Done.
Great story. The CD liner now on this the Gestures CD states that Run, Run, Run was number one in the Twin Cities and New York and number three in L.A., and further suggests that the song could have been a major national hit were it not for a snafu on the part of the record company.
They couldn't get any distribution. I believe he was going through some kind of a war with the people in Detroit, because I know we were sent there. The band was sent there, along with a couple people who worked for, I think his distribution company was called Marsh, and we went there to some other more national distributor to kind of schmooze them, you know, and talk to them to try to get them to handle the record. And apparently that didn't work. They never did. We would go to places, you know, we would go into places on the West Coast, you know, like in the state of Washington. We'd play a job there, and on one of our breaks, kids would come up, and they were actually almost mad. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, so now where do we buy this record? They say, well, you probably buy a record store. Yeah, but right, but they don't have it. Well, you know, have you tried Sears? No, I mean, it's just, you know, we just say, we will look into it, you know, and looking into it, there wasn't any product. And so what Run, Run, Run was in most of those markets is what they now, or what they then called, a turntable hit, which meant that it could rise to number one in Los Angeles, for instance, not based on record sales, but based on airplay. And so it was getting humongous airplay with hardly any product put into position. And so shortly thereafter, and not because of us, but I mean shortly thereafter, someone got some common sense, and they stopped that turntable thing, and they said, let's just base it totally on record sales. And that's the way it's been ever since. But so it was a turntable hit. We couldn't get Amos to get product out there.
Let's give a listen to a couple songs by The Gestures. An original, When Does Linda Cry?, followed by a standard dance tune from the 60s titled Long Tall Texan.
Doesn't want me to see all of her sorrows brought on by me. She doesn't want me to see all of her sorrows brought on by me. Of me, that's the way it's gonna be. When will Linda smile all the while in front of me?
Giddy up,
Another very, very similar situation with Amos when I put out an album that I'd done that came out on MCA Records. It was called I Really Wanted to Make a Movie, and that was in 1975-76. And that was a national release, except Amos controlled Minneapolis. And MCA said that what we're going to do is we're going to release it first in Minneapolis, and if we can get some traction there, we'll roll it out across the nation. Well, the traction here fell short again with Amos Hilliker. Amos Hilliker went to war with a man named Michael Maitland, who was the president of MCA Records. And it was all over something called free goods. And Amos loved free goods, which meant that every time there was an order, the record label would send him one or two free boxes. They're called free goods. And he could sell them on his own and keep all the money on that. But in this instance, MCA told Amos, well, we don't need to give you free goods because we have Lynyrd Skynyrd, Olivia Newton-John, Elton John, three of the top sellers in that 75-76 era. And he said, okay, watch this. Well, the watch this recipient of the watch this was me. And here it's starting to get some airplay, and he wasn't putting anything into record stores. We had to get some product directly from MCA. The war was going on. And the really unique thing here is my manager, who actually got me the record deal with MCA, a man named Ned Shanklin, his wife was Amos's daughter. And so Ned and his wife came back here and went on Amos's boat one summer day or evening to try to get Amos to please stock Menton's album. Never happened. So I'm actually, I got put in the corner twice by Amos. So, and that's a long, I guess I had to get that off. I just had to tell you about that. But that's the record business. That's one of those little things that happens that you have no control over. And I would bet things like that are going on all the time, often because someone didn't get their little spiff or didn't get this to happen or whatever. You know, it is still a very strange business, as you know.
Yes, and even without the product to sell, I believe Run, Run, Run still sold, how many was it? Somewhere between 100,000 and 200,000 copies?
Well, I think we have records for 200,000, but we, I mean, that's only here in the U.S., and a bunch of that is also based on something called mechanicals. Being the writer, I was paid two different ways. I was paid a performance royalty every time it was played on the air, and a mechanical royalty every time the record sold. And so that's where we get to the 200,000 things. But ever since then, every time we have these reunions and we're playing for certain things, record collectors, now that's a big deal now, and I'm sure that you know a lot of record collectors, they would show up here's Run, Run, Run that came out in Sweden. Here's the one that came out in Italy. Here's the one that came out in Japan. And I'm going, you're kidding. I mean, it came out in countries I didn't even know were countries. And those weren't listed in these mechanicals. And it's like, okay, so no one knows. And I'm sure if you talk to the Trashmen, they'll probably say the same thing. And so with the Castaways. It was running a little loose. And, you know, and you can't do anything about it. We couldn't do anything now. We can't do anything now. Yeah. And that was part of the business. And that wasn't just here, and that wasn't just Amos. That was everybody. And all the stories of all these, I mean, really incredible big-time artists from the past who have all these sad stories, we all kind of go rock bottom. Behind that has always been some kind of a label thing where, well, we never got a royalty or we never got this. I mean, that just happened.
Yeah.
I think of probably a little bit of that still probably going on. But so what, right?
Yeah. Sounds to me like if all things had gone well, that would have been a million seller.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's what it did, and we were very happy for that, and the rest is all you'll never know.
Here's a couple of songs penned by Dale Menton from our featured CD, Don't Mess Around and Candlelight.
It's the way that I want it to be. When you're deep, deep in love, it can pull you way down, and a whimper is an unwanted sound. Around. Remember, never mess around. Never mess around with me. Sugar candy. Whoa. I woke up and I held myself. Yeah. Oh, now go. If she ever wants to know it, girl, I walk around tell her so, yeah. Oh, now go, 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 baby. Oh, yeah, my baby. Oh, talk about my baby. Oh, don't mean maybe. My candlelight. She was standing all out. All by herself. Cause she was standing all alone, yeah, all by herself. She looked like sugar candy. I walked up and I held myself. Yeah. Now go, 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 baby. Oh yeah, baby. I'm talking about my baby. I don't mean maybe. My candlelight. You know she was staying all alone.
Going back to the CD, I particularly like the song It Seems to Me. It's an up-tempo tune. To me, Shades of the Zombies. I can tell the British invasion affected you.
You know, that's, you know, people say that, but those tunes were written before we even played a Beatles tune. In fact, we weren't even playing then. I mean, playing on the road when we recorded Run, Run, Run and It Seems to Me. Because the album stuff came later, but It Seems to Me was one of the first things out of the chute. That was the first, that was the B-side to Run, Run, Run. So I was probably more influenced by Lonnie Mack, a little bit of Beach Boys, and Roy Orbison, I mean, for that matter, which doesn't really come out in my music back then anyway. But the Beatles, we probably dressed more like them that we, you know, than we were influenced sound-wise until a little later on.
And the hair, the hairstyles.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but that was not just... I suppose you got to give that to the Beatles. You know? It was everywhere.
As I said, it seems to me it is a very clever song. It's got a very neat bridge. I like how it changes key and then resolves to the original key by sliding up from a D minor up to the E minor. That's good writing.
Thank you. You know, what's really just a little aside on that is that up until this past year, we had this big event at the Cato Ballroom. It was called the 50th anniversary of Run, Run, Run. And so we put a band together, which was really basically, with the exception of the drummer, it was all Gestures people. You know, it was Tom Klukas and myself. We're original. Dan Duffy replaced me. And Arnie Marshall, remember I talked about that band way back in middle school, mm-hmm. my first band. Arnie and I were the first. Actually, we started guitar lessons together. We started playing guitar together. We wrote tunes together. And he was in the band. And he's probably over the past 15 years, when the Gestures are asked to play at Crazy Days in North Mankato or something, Arnie has played in my place, and then Dan's still there. So we put this band together. And up until last year, that band, or whatever, we had never really played, It Seems to Me. It just, whether it was we didn't think of it or it was difficult, and we went back to play it, and it was like, wow, how did I write it and why? You know, those things come and you go, this is very strange. No, I mean, but it is unusual, and it was fun to play it because I really couldn't recall it. A lot of people liked it, and I think I'm going to like it now. I don't even know if I liked it back then, but I'm liking it better now. So,
well, yeah. Second life there.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. The world is bad and this is sad, it seems to me. That's all it gives, and all who live must have pain. There must be a way out. I'll find a way out. I'll stay away from love. Full of empty arms just like mine. Bad.
that's all it gives, and all who live must have pain. There must be a way out. I'll find a way out. I'll stay away from love. Bad, and this is sad, it seems to me. It seems to me. It seems to me. The world is bad, it seems to me.
So the Gestures didn't break up when you left?
No, no, oh no.
Nope. How long did they keep going?
I would probably say maybe 2 years tops, maybe a little less, probably less. I know Bill Miller came in, Dan Duffy came in, and then it all went away. I would only be guessing if I tried to put the number of years, but I can guess because I'm an adult now, so I can guess and I can't get hurt. Probably less than 2 years because I know Gus went off to City Mouse. Things just kind of broke.
And are all the guys still with us? And you already said you do get together for reunions.
Well, Gus is gone. Gus Dewey passed away either the very end of 2003 or the very beginning of 2004. Bruce, I think, passed in 93. Oh. He passed right around the time that Sundazed album came out. So whatever the date, he actually passed about a week before we received the albums. He just couldn't wait around long enough. Such a hurry. Jeez.
Much too young.
So we lost the drummer and we lost the rhythm guitar player.
Yeah, that's sad. Yep. And when you do get together for reunion concerts, are all of the past members of the Gestures usually there?
Yes. Yep.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Well, it is, yeah. We had a nice five-piece, you know, Gestures thing, and it was a lot of fun. We put about somewhere between 1,400 to 1,600 people into the Cato Ballroom. Huge crowd. I mean, it was just overwhelming. We actually played. We were all starting out to rehearse. We said, okay, we'll do 15 minutes. Oh, you got to do more than that because people are paying money. Oh, okay. 30. Well, by the time we got all rehearsed and we had our tunes, we were up there for almost an hour. I was so proud of us. And then we all ran home and went right to bed.
So do you have to bone up on those songs or are they just seared into your mind?
Oh, no. No, I mean, it's always tough going back to try to remember the lyrics because I wrote such weird things. I mean, lyrics, you know, I would get into things with bad and sad, and then you had to figure out when did I sing one and when did I sing the other, and it was just, I wrote myself into corners so much. And then, like I said, there were some strange chord structures in some of those tunes, too, which was fun. It was interesting, but then you go back to it, you go, again, why did I do that? I don't know.
Oh, that's fun to listen to. Gee.
The last track on the self-titled CD is Stand By Me. No, not the classic song by Benny King, but another Menton original. If you didn't know, song titles are not copyrightable, only the songs themselves. Then we'll treat you to the Gestures covering the Beatles' Things We Said Today from their Something New album from the summer of 1960. The last track on the self-titled CD is Stand By Me. No, not the classic song by Benny King, but another Menton original. If you didn't know, song titles are not copyrightable, only the songs themselves. Then we'll treat you to the Gestures covering the Beatles' Things We Said Today from their Something New album from the summer of 64.
If I am doing wrong, to fall. Stand by me, together we will conquer all. I'll stand by me, stand by me. When you're feeling sad, things are not so bad. If you stand by me, when you're all alone, strong. Stand by me, and if I should start to fall, stand by me, together we will conquer all. Stand by me when you're all alone and you're far from home, girl. Stand by me. We'll be right back.
You know, I'd be remiss in not asking what came after the Gestures for you and what you're up to now.
Well, after came a whole string of bands. Right after that came a band with many names. Band with many names. I think it started out being the only ones. And then we had I wrote a tune called You May See Me Cry that came out on United Artists. And then we changed the name for that to The Best Things. And then there was a contest at the Minnesota State Fair. And, you know, you would go play and they would judge you. And they wanted to pick a band that would go out on the road and be the USAs. And for that, you got all the free equipment from B-Sharp Music. And you got these wonderful white shirts and red something, I don't know, red vest and blue pants, and you were the USAs. And we won that. I think it was rigged, but we won it. We got those little silly clothes, but we got this equipment from B-Sharp, and we played as the USAs for a few months. And then we picked up a guy named Ross Ingram, who played the guitar. He played electric 12-string really well. And then we became the Mad Hatters. And that's basically still the same band. So right now we're at four or five names. Then finally we just ran out of names, so we all quit that. And I then got involved. I was asked to play in a band called The Escapades. That was Ron Butwin's band. And in that band was Michael Flaherty and Michael Guerra, Bruce Edwards, and then me. And then from that, Mike, O'Gara, Flaherty, and me, we left that band and we started a band called The Seraphic Street Sound. And we got David Steinick, who was then the drummer with the Mystics. He came over, and now we had a band with a strange name, the Seraphic Street Sound. We dressed up in costumes from Teeners, Elizabethan things with swords hanging out and everything, you know, and the whole deal. We dressed that whole Elizabethan thing, and we did tunes. I love to take tunes like Hold On, I'm Coming by Sam and Dave, and open the tune with a kind of a Swingle Singers thing. I did all kinds of strange things because we had a vocal, discounting my voice as being probably the worst. Those three guys, David Steinick was and probably still is one of the purest tenors ever. I mean, it's just a first tenor, gorgeous voice. I don't know if you've heard Mike Flaherty. Michael's amazing. And Michael Aguera. I mean, these guys just sang. And so we would do RMEMI and all these tunes, full vocal stuff. And that was probably the most interesting band I was ever in, period. We did amazing things, I thought, and we never recorded. The only time we would record is that when I was at Dove Recording Studios, those three guys and me became the background singers on a lot of music that came out of Dove, like 20 years ago in Speedy's Kitchen, and Lights Roam. These came out in London Records, Atco Records, Atlantic Records, and we became studio singers. But that band, which was so good, we never went in as a band record. And I got too involved in the studio, and at that point I quit the band business and got into the recording studio and am still there. I just fell in love with the whole illusion of recording. I mean, to me, playing live is what I call the reality of music. That's reality. There is no take two and you punch in here when you're on stage. But when you're in a studio, it's an illusion. It's all kind of fantasy. Let's do that over again. You get do-overs. Let's malt that. And now you can even, let's tune me up. it's an illusion that goes, and I love the whole process. And I love that whole creative process, the whole technical process. And I just kind of hung up the you know, I put the horse away on the whole band thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know on our another Pioneer 90.1 show, Minnesota Homebrew, we quite often play your songs from your Download Me CD.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you.
Which, from a recording point of view, is near perfection to me.
Oh, thank you.
Although I'm sure you hear any what you perceive as imperfections, but...
Well, I mean, you're always going to do that. Yeah. I am positive that you probably run into that, too. You know, when you're doing your things, it's kind of like, you can always do it better.
Sure, but boy, that is one slick album.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, Dale, we here at Minnesota Music Memories want to thank you for spending this time with us and wish you continued success, both musically and personally and health-wise.
Thank you. And I should be thanking you now. Me sitting here in my basement would personally like to thank you for allowing me to be involved with this. It's great.
Well, we love your music, and we'll continue playing it and trust that you'll send us more.
You got it. Hey, thank you much.
Recalling Jim Oldsburg's liner notes from this CD titled The Gestures, Dale Menton says, "I don't think we were old enough or mature enough to handle all the things that happened so quickly to us. One week we had a local hit, the next week it was being played all over the country. The week after that it was on Dick Clark's American Bandstand. All of a sudden we're being asked to make some very important decisions. None of us, from Madison to Gus to myself, seemed to make all the right choices. It went too fast. We made a couple good decisions, but obviously made some bad ones too. For example, just as our popularity was starting to rocket with the release of Run, 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 we grabbed a whole flock of dates with the Rich Brothers booking agency. We signed a contract to play 100 dates for $150 a night all over the country. The record hit number one as we were tooling around the USA, traveling four in a Chevy van, two riding atop the instruments and back, carrying a list of towns and dates to appear at. One time we booked in St. Louis, Missouri. 3 days later, we were supposed to be in Upper Washington State. As we went through California, we had to make radio appearances, too. Unbelievable. Another time, we drove past South Bend, Oregon, all the way to South Bend, Washington, only to find Paul Revere and the Raiders setting up at the club. We were in the right town, but the wrong state. That's pretty much how we spent the first year of our existence. The Gestures were inducted into the Minnesota Rock and Country Hall of Fame in 2008. Thanks for joining us on Minnesota Music Memories. We're wrapping up this episode with another original Dale Menten tune, I'm Not Mad.
From Pioneer 90.1 FM, KSRQ, Thief River Falls, Minnesota, you've been listening to Minnesota Music Memories. Minnesota Music Memories was recorded at the Pioneer 90.1 Studios located in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. If you would like to check out this episode and other episodes of Minnesota Music Memories, you can head to our website, radionorthland.org, and see for yourself. Minnesota Music Memories is brought to you courtesy of the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For Minnesota Music Memories, this has been Glenn Broggett. So long for now. We'll see you next week on Minnesota Music Memories.